This is Sibios, your source for public affairs research. A podcast from the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota. In this episode, we are talking with Professor Anu Ramaswamy of the Humphrey School of Public Affairs. Professor Ramaswamy's research spans across environmental modeling and technologies as it relates to sustainable urban infrastructure design. As a leading scholar in this area, her work influences the pathways to low-carbon cities by the adoption of policies and protocols in the United States as well as internationally. We will talk with Professor Ramaswamy about modeling carbon emissions of all cities in a nation and aligning national and city-scale data. Before we begin that conversation, I'd like you to share with our listeners why you were interested in this research.
So we all know that most of humanity lives in cities, and in the next 20 or 30 years, we're expecting to double, almost double our urban population. And just the sheer numbers and massive scale of urbanization has impacts well beyond the city boundary. A vast majority of this is because of infrastructures. So we use energy for transportation, energy to heat and cool our buildings. We grow food outside that travels long distances and comes to cities. We use fossil fuels, other forms of energy in our industries, which are essential for economic development. And so as the world urbanizes and becomes more prosperous, urban areas become the focus of change, and they present a huge opportunity to develop low-carbon humanity worldwide by a focus on urban systems. And so I started off looking at individual cities through work with the city of Denver back in 2005, and it expanded to study carbon emissions using some of the latest approaches that incorporate transboundary supply chains of the type I just spoke about. You know, you get electricity from outside, you get diesel and gasoline from outside the boundary, you get food from outside the boundary. Construction materials are produced in cement factories and steel factories, but are so critical to developing cities. And a lot of cities have become really open to using these advanced approaches to carbon emissions accounting because it demonstrates their broader impact outside their boundary. But there was always this little question of, okay, that's just one city, so what? Oh, New York City, sure, it's big, but what does it do to the whole of the U.S.? Delhi, Denver, Beijing, all individual cities that my research group has studied. But there was this missing answer that I think would elevate cities in the realm of carbon policy, which was, if you looked at all cities in a country, what is their impact compared to the carbon emissions of that nation?
So a report released yesterday indicated that after a three-year stall, carbon emissions have not yet peaked, but we will see a new spike in 2017 and 2018. Talk about why it is new to model carbon emissions from all cities in a nation.
In general, carbon emissions are expected to peak worldwide in about, the estimates vary, maybe 10 years, 20 years. It varies by country. And for the vast majority, all these models looking at what we can do in terms of carbon emissions have focused on what national policies can do. And most national policies focus on single sectors. So can I make my industry, remember the steel plant I talked about, can I make that steel plant more efficient? And you can establish national industrial policies. You can have national energy efficiency policy, fuel economy standards for cars like we do in the U.S. These are established by national governments. But there's been actually very little science to answer the question, what can cities uniquely do that no other level of government can do through urban planning? And this is why it's important to study the measures that cities and cities alone can take, or urban areas alone can take through urban planning to contribute additionally to carbon reductions. And in some of our recent work, we actually focus in on some of the cross-sector opportunities that cities provide.
What does alignment with national data allow researchers and policymakers to do?
Excellent question. And so, first of all, I wanted to say, for the longest time, when we had all of the conference of parties to talk about international, you know, treaties to have a concerted effort to reduce carbon emissions, cities only recently came on the radar because it was nations that are negotiating these treaties. And part of that reason was that there wasn't an assessment of what is the impact of all cities in a nation. And so the first thing it allows policymakers to do is to really elevate and understand fully the role of cities as they think about climate policies. So the second thing is that it allows us to quantitatively understand the contribution of cities. And beyond that, you can also look at types of cities. How much do these megacities contribute compared to these small cities, smaller than a million, that are actually where all future growth, urban growth is going to happen? How much do industrial cities contribute? How much do commercial cities contribute? So that then you can think of strategies for a portfolio of cities across the nation, and if all countries do this, across the globe.
What does it take to build city-level carbon data sets that align with national data sets? And is that effort replicable?
Another excellent question. What it takes is two things. One is as much reporting as possible on unique features of individual cities so that they're captured, as well as a large number of statistical data sets that allow us to count up from the city to a province or a state. And the province having good data that aligns up to the nation. And so it's this multi-level data alignment that's really important and gives credibility to such whole city data sets.
What insights do you get from taking bottom-up emissions data for all cities from a nation? Are there certain city classifications that emerge as important?
The really important thing here is to get bottom-up activity data. And so activity data refers to how many people own cars and drive, how many industries do you have, what are the industrial activities, can we get a good idea of the employment at the city level or the urban level in different sectors, what types of fuels do households burn, you know, how do they cook? So it's that activity level data that you want to get to reflect the features of each city. Are you in a cold climate? Are you in a warm climate? You know, do you have district energy systems where groups of houses share heating and cooling? Do you have multi-story buildings which might use less or more energy? So those sorts of data are what customize it and make it relevant to each city, while at the same time, we also add up employment. So we make sure that all the employment across cities adds up to the national total. All the houses across all cities and all rural areas add up to the national total. All your cars add up. I mean, so this is what alignment means, that your activity is customized to each city, but the sum adds up as best as it possible. And in the study, we were actually fairly close to what the national sum of activities are. And what that does is it allows you to identify cities by typologies. Here's a very, very industrial city whose economy is dominated by heavy industries in a cold climate with a lot of mass transit. That could be one set of typologies. But that allows you to then identify the high-impact strategies for carbon mitigation.
Well, thanks so much for talking with us about aligning city-level carbon data with national data sets. I know it's very important work. In the next episode, we will talk about specific examples of urban planning strategies for city-level carbon mitigation.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Civios, an initiative of the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota. To learn more about this segment, please visit civios.umn.edu.